Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
A rare appearance by Brian Kilmeade coming up on a Friday afternoon. Although I say that, and let's hope that we can get him on the line here in just a little bit. We thought we'd save Brian for this hour, and a lot of times, as you probably know, on Fridays I lighten the load just a little bit. We're not going to do that tonight because there's so much going on as we start the year, not only with the new legislative session in Jefferson City. You heard Mark Cox is going to be down there. We had Nick Shore on the air. Nick's hanging out here. He went and got a bite to eat. He's going to come back and join us at 5:30 for a little preview of the legislative session. He was on the roundtable earlier this afternoon. We got Kilmeade, like I said, coming up in a couple of minutes on Monday. And I'm going to get into this, I think, if I have time. Dave Murray is going to give us the latest on the forecast. We do have a snowy, icy mix that's going to start tomorrow. We've had many, many reports, including from some of our, you know, significance, that grocery stores have been just absolutely pummeled. There's no eggs or milk or anything like that. So people have really heeded the warnings probably too effectively. Now, my prediction, Dave probably won't like this, my prediction would be that we end up with like 1 to 2 inches. The thing about this storm, though, is really the ice. And I think that Dave pointed that out yesterday. He'll have details. If you get a layer of ice, even if it only snows 1.5 or 2 inches, it is going to be a mess. And then the other part of the story moving forward for next week is really bone-chilling single-digit low temperatures in the morning, high temperatures only in the 20s. If I have time, I'm going to try to make time for this story, but I'm going to tell you that Corey DeAngelis is coming up at 3:25 on Monday. He's with the American Culture Project. He is one of the leading advocates on education reform in this country. And it was interesting, last night I was popping around when I got home on Twitter, and I had a couple of people shared this with me today, but I noticed it last night that he was talking about something that was happening locally with Webster Groves. They have a new superintendent. I think there was a story that was in the Post a couple of days ago. It says Webster Groves School District names new superintendent. The school district will or has tapped a new superintendent, and she's a familiar face. Webster Groves Board of Education hired Jana Parker, a former district parent and St. Louis area administrator, to lead the district after the retirement of John Simpson at the end of the 24-25 school year. And they say she comes from Highline Public Schools in Washington State, where she was the executive director of curriculum and instruction. One of the things that Corey DeAngelis likes to do is kind of look into some of these folks, and he put what I would call an amazing string together on Jana Parker, dealing with her white fragility perspective, her endorsement of it's time for white people to understand their whiteness, all this other nonsense. Dr. Seuss was a racist. I posted this on Twitter yesterday, and you should check out the string from Corey. He'll join us at 3:25 on Monday afternoon. Right now, we got Brian Kilmeade as we head into the weekend. It's been a busy day in Washington and beyond. How are you, Brian? Happy New Year.
Same to you, Mark. How are you?
I'm good. It didn't look for a while that they were going to get this done on one ballot. There were some deals that were cut. I don't know if you know what happened behind the scenes, but Mike Johnson has been reelected as Speaker of the House.
Nothing major. I don't think he gave up anything major, but for the most part, now the big story, and I literally just got off the train, if I missed it, is can they get that nine-person space? For example, nine people, same party. If they want to oust you, have to agree to try to oust you, put to a vote, instead of one.
Right.
So the next Matt Gaetz, you know, aspiring selfish.
You mean Tom Massie, without naming
him. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Although he's, you know, Tom Massie's really bright, no doubt about it. But Tom Massie does not have a big following. So, you know, Tom Massie just decides that I'll never vote for him, pull up my fingernails. Why? I mean, these people never play a team sport. Bottom line is, Speaker Johnson's going to be in there. I think he'll communicate effectively with the president. The president will be frustrated at times. This is going to be the story almost every time we talk. It's going to be, you know, who are the seven Republicans that won't agree on whatever it is, the new budget, the new, the tax reform. Remember, a lot of people didn't vote for a lot of Republicans didn't vote for the Trump tax reform. So they had some, you know, they had a big deficit. You know, I think they had 25 seats to give away last time, and still they passed it. Now, if you lose 25 people on renewing the Trump tax cuts, okay, it's not passing.
Yeah, and look, I think that I heard Chip Roy comment in the aftermath. I think I saw him on Fox. I think that there is a desire. I understand that some of these folks, and I get that Tom Massey's a smart guy. He leans more libertarian. I actually lean more libertarian. But I was encouraged yesterday, for example, Brian, we have a member of Congress, new member Bob Onder, who was in our state Senate here in Missouri. And Bob can be a little bit of an obstructionist at time, and he's a staunch conservative. So I wasn't sure where he'd fall on the Mike Johnson question. His answer last night was, yes, I'm voting for Johnson, not happy with the CR debacle, but think we need to choose our team and get to work. And I think that's the, you know, prevailing sentiment, is that maybe this isn't perfect right now, but good Lord, you're going to sacrifice a lot of political capital if you get into a speaker battle here in the first couple of days of 2025.
Yeah, and also he's got Johnson, who I'm a fan of. He just has to communicate. And that's the main thing. A lot of these guys, women, Victoria Sparks, go, we have no idea what he's working on. This hits me right away. No one communicated with me, you know. I didn't get my 72 hours, and it's 1,000 pages, and he only told 10 people. You know, Kevin McCarthy got a lot of those people elected. You know, he got them their funding, showed up for them. So if he had to skip them once in a while, he had a little bit of, understanding in the bank. I don't think that people understood that, you know, Johnson was not working for himself to get Louisiana stuff. He working behind the scenes to get this done in order to get to Christmas and then get Trump in charge.
Right.
With his Senate.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that there's a lot of anticipation. This is good that they got this done heading into the weekend. You can kind of push forward. Obviously, it's a holiday week. Brian, I was off until yesterday, but holy moly, has there been a lot of news from across the country. Let me start with what happened in New Orleans. Let me ask this. I've tossed this out on our roundtable. I don't even know what to think anymore. Do you think that what happened in Vegas and New Orleans are connected in any way?
I don't think now. I don't. You know, I really don't. So they know each other. One guy loved Trump. Other guy loved ISIS. So I think, you know, as of now, we believe he loved Trump. We see him driving around Vegas for about an hour. He killed himself.
Right.
And then blew up the truck. This guy got out of his truck and started shooting other people. You know, he placed IEDs to hurt other people. This guy parked himself in the middle of a Trump Tower and blew himself up. Some speculate it was to get back his wife, who hated Trump. And told them they're done on Christmas. So we'll see. Someone who was telling me that they got a manifesto to check it out, so I'll read that. But as of now, unconnected, just coincidence. And no one's told me that. I mean, if you just read the stories, they do seem unconnected. They don't know each other. And this guy is active in the military 19 years, and they say a Rambo-style American fighter.
Well, and I don't know in the end what we're going to learn about New Orleans in particular, but one thing I think that a lot of people are coming away with is a lack of confidence in public officials, in police officials, in the FBI, because of the way that that's been handled down there. The whole thing with the bollards is very confusing. I don't know what your thoughts are on that, but this does not instill confidence moving into this year.
Yeah, well, it's really not hard not to have confidence. And if you read the New York Times today, in 2017 they get these bollards. And then in 2019, they're not working. So they hired a private firm to check out the city, and they go, you got bollards. You got to get them working. And they go, okay, but it's going to cost money. Do you realize that beads got caught in the bollards and jammed them up?
I talked about it earlier because I was so confused. I gave credit to the New York Times, Brian, because I thought that was pretty good reporting.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's a private company. They came up with this, and you said, you got to fix it. So they go, well, we got the money to fix it, but just for the Super Bowl. Oops. So, okay. So then they have these other alternatives and these, I forgot the name of it, these huge metal things that they're supposed to be able to stop a 5,000-pound truck. So, okay. The superintendent, when she heard about it, she goes, I didn't even know we had these.
Yeah, that's
weird. And
then, that's
and then
weird.
the company said, now they put them out right away and they're out now. And then the company contacted the press and said, they're using them wrong. That's not how you use them. So they don't have to use it. And this woman's background, she evidently got fired, she's got fired from her other job, and she shows up she shows up all of a sudden in New Orleans, And she looks like she's, no offense, but we're used to, like, young, viral, yeah. you know, vibrant people. She's about 80 years old, I think.
Yeah, it's Ann Kirkpatrick. What I said yesterday about this, because in fairness, sometimes we look at people from afar and we're like, wait a second. And John Fetterman, Brian, is an example for me. We got to know John Fetterman. We saw maybe what the people in Pennsylvania saw. So my question yesterday was, maybe there's a little bit more to Ann Kirkpatrick than I'm seeing, but boy, it did not look good at all.
I'm open to being pressed. How about, yeah, we set up a system, and the terrorists beat the system. Any other questions? Oh, yeah. What's your system? Yeah, we put cops on the corner. We never thought they were going to drive up sidewalks. Meanwhile, in the ISIS doctrine, it talks about driving up sidewalks. So, yeah, that's what happened in Germany. That's what happened in New Zealand. That's one of the goals. It's actually written up. You go, and you're supposed to have multiple layers of fighting. So after you roll over as many people as possible, as fast as you can, they even recommend pickup trucks. Then you got to be ready to keep fighting, so make sure you have a gun in the car. It's like written down. So they're about 40% light in terms of police force. Nobody wants to work there because of the whole George Floyd thing and terrible pay and no respect. Murder capital of the country. So then you got to go protect the number one site for the Sugar Bowl, for the Super Bowl, and for Mardi Gras? No, thank you.
Yeah.
You know, this is a pretty terrible mix.
It's a really bad mix. What's coming up tomorrow night on your show?
Well, we got Percy Miller, Master P. He is the ambassador to entertainment, grew up in New Orleans. He just joined us at the last minute, and it's great. Robert O'Brien, Tom Holman will be with us, Tommy Lahren, and that breaks down really what we're going to put in the show, and we're just going to be covering what happened in the media this week. We're going to be covering what's going on with the tunnel. They found tunnels underneath on the Mexico side going into the American side. So Tom Holmes is going to talk about he's gotten contacted with people who bought the wall. They want to sell it back to us. So that's kind of cool. And Robert O'Brien, you know, he, like me, is not upset with the Trump team fighting with each other. I kind of like the real debate on the H-1B1 visa. I don't mind the debate that's going to take place over Ukraine. And Robert O'Brien says the thing that the thing that he likes about this team is that they like Trump. The other guys thought they were knew more than Trump. So these guys understand that the buck stops with him. So I kind of like it, you know.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about that.
Well, there is it's a different, you know, it's a completely different start to this administration, and I think that I don't know about you, but I think Trump's been on some unbelievable good behavior recently. I'm shocked by it. I really am.
He's got another gear. He's showing us another gear.
Brian, hope you had a great holiday. Happy New Year. We'll talk next week.
All right, go get him, Mark. Thank you.
All right, take care. You hear him every morning here on 97.1 FM Talk. Sue, we got Dave Murray jumping on here
Good.
In just a couple of minutes. We're going to get updated on the weather situation. Then Nick Shore is going to come back into the mix. He was nice enough to hang out for a little bit. He was on the roundtable earlier. The legislative session in Jeff City starts next week. Senator Shore has some thoughts on that, a new governor in Mike Kehoe. So we'll cover that. And I started to talk. Let's see if I have time to do this before Dave jumps on, because I was mentioning Corey DeAngelis in this string, and I would highly recommend. If you don't follow me, go to at Mark Reardon KFTK. You don't even have to follow, but look at what Corey wrote about Jana Parker, who is the new superintendent in Webster Groves. And let me just say this, and this is what I tweeted. It is Webster, so we shouldn't be shocked by this at all. But he features a couple of Ibram Kendi quotes that she retweets. No one becomes not racist despite a tendency by Americans to identify themselves that way. We can only strive to be anti-racist. So this is the nonsense that has infected education throughout this country. We've tried to eradicate it. Corey, who is a big school choice supporter, has done a really good job at exposing it and trying to eradicate it. But I mean, if you go into her tweets from years ago, white fragility is everywhere, but does anti-racism training work? It's time for white people to understand their whiteness. She was retweeting a Time magazine piece. As a white educator, we have a responsibility to not be colorblind. While you may think the intent is positive, the impact has significant consequences. So what I would say, even though I'm outraged by this nonsense because kids are falling behind in schools, you have serious, serious issues with education, but they're going to hire the white guilty woman as superintendent in Webster because all the do-gooders on the board think that that's the way that they should go, even though the country has rejected this nonsense. And we saw that pretty clearly in the past couple of months. But congratulations, Webster Groves. I'm sure Kirkwood will follow suit. Dave Murray, are you there? Well, there's an alarm. Let's see if I got him locked in. There you go. Take two.
There
Dave,
we are.
How are you?
There
Sorry about
are.
That. Hi, Dave. How are you?
That's good. I'm always lurking in the background.
So, you know, as you know, St. Louis, and I guess this happens elsewhere, but man, the grocery store shelves, they are bare afternoon,
it's
Dave.
It's gone because you can never have enough French toast during a winter storm.
Yeah. So you talked about this yesterday. I think the biggest concern that Sue and I have is we don't like ice. And a lot of people like snow we might be able to handle. But where are we with the track of this storm right now?
Yeah, right now the storm itself still has not come across the Pacific Northwest coast. It will by about 9 o'clock tonight. Then it will track over the northern Rockies and get torn apart, which is what the mountains do. And then it will use that energy that's left to go out into the central plains and spin itself together into a low pressure system. And that will take place pretty close to the Texas Panhandle. And again, once that happens, then we have a really good idea of what the track of this is going to go. But with that in mind, that's where I'm going to put the low. And that's when I can really track this thing out based on layers of the atmosphere and atmospheric conditions and the dynamics and synoptics that are going on. So the ideas from yesterday haven't changed a heck of a lot other than that we are now in a winter storm warning where the watch has been dropped. It's warnings in effect, which means this thing to some extent is going to happen. It's from 10 o'clock Saturday night until 6 a.m. on Monday morning. Tonight is dry. Saturday is dry. Saturday evening is dry. It will be cold, but nothing out of the ordinary. Snow starts after midnight Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and fairly quickly mixing with sleet. So the focus of the system is going to be Sunday and Sunday evening. So let's say from early morning Sunday until midnight on Sunday. Here in St. Louis, still looking like a mix of sleet, snow, freezing rain all day on Sunday. However, I do think a dry slot is going to cut into the system from the south sometime on Sunday afternoon. What that will do is shut the moisture off for about 2 or 3 hours, a little freezing drizzle. That's probably about it. The storm's not over at that point. We're about the halfway point. Sunday evening, the mix will start up again, snow, sleet, freezing rain, changing over to a few hours of all snow mid-evening up until about midnight on Sunday. Then the storm pulls away fairly quickly. Still dealing with a fine line of all of these mixes of moisture across St. Louis. We're in the mix for the bulk of the storm. The snow will start, again, late Saturday night. It will start as snow, but mix in pretty quickly, and it will end as snow on the tail end of the system, backside of the system. So what I'm thinking is by midnight, Sunday night, I still kind of like a single number of about 5 inches of snow and ice. However, that could include an inch of sleet on top of the snow and then snow going on top of that. And then freezing rain will also be mixed in. South of St. Louis, south of that DeSoto-Sparta-Mount Vernon line, it's all ice. It's freezing rain and sleet. Some real concerns there. Could be some power outages in those areas to the south. To the north, Columbia, Ellsbury to Carlinville. Don't want to change these lines too much. It's mainly all snow and up to about 10 inches of snow. Now, this thing will continue to get fine-tuned as it hits the northwest coast, as it gets sheared apart in the Rockies, as it comes into the plains. And I'll be perfectly honest here. This thing is going to be fine-tuning into Sunday morning as the thing gets closer and closer. And that's just what these storms do. You don't rush a forecast and you don't rush a winter storm. We have to let it play out and then we'll get some much better ideas. Though I like these ideas right now, and I'm a really stubborn forecaster. So to get me to change these ideas will be pretty tough. And that's just the way I'm going to stick with it right now until I don't have to stick with it.
Well, and you know,
Monday morning is going to be a mess.
Yeah, Sue's already looking forward to that. Yeah. She can't wait. But the ice is really, you know, what I think worries a lot of people. You talk about power outages. I even got a text message, a preemptive strike from my friends at Spectrum. We're preparing for potential service outages during the storm. Visit spectrum.net storm prep for info. What do I have to prep for? Not having my internet for 3 days,
Pretty much, I guess. You've done that
all summer, Spectrum. Congratulations.
You're so used to that, Mark.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my gosh. Dave, it kind of sounds like a winter trifle, right? So you get a little ice and then snow,
I like that.
And then more ice on top of it, and then more snow, and
then more snow, right?
Okay, and then when is it warm enough to melt any of
this
stuff?
I'm glad you brought that up because we got single digit lows next week, right?
Yeah, and they'll probably be upper single digits. I don't see us going below zero. However, with a fresh coat of snow and ice, it allows temperatures to drop down a little bit more.
Oh, eight degrees is just perfectly fine. Now that it's not going to be zero. Are you kidding me?
That's right. No, that's a big difference.
It is.
And the wind will be limited, too. So that's good news. Though with this storm, there'll be some wind.
Yeah.
But all next week, all during the work week, it will be cold enough to keep this stuff around for quite a while. I don't see anything really behind it. I don't see, as far as a storm is concerned, I don't see another reload of cold air. So hopefully temperatures, once we get through next week, will start to rebound on us.
Awesome. All right. Well, thank you for all the updates. We'll see where this winter storm takes. They named this thing, too, didn't they? Isn't there a name to it?
Really?
I don't do that.
Oh, okay.
Thank God.
Don't
make me say that stuff. Make me say words that I don't want to say.
And I appreciate that, Dave Murray. This is why we love you. Happy New Year, Dave. Thank you so much for the update.
Thanks, Dave.
You got it. I'll keep you up to date all weekend.
Thank you very much. Yeah, keep it tuned to 97.1 FM Talk. Well, you know, you're just in that situation where things can change. I think that's one of the messaging. Mm-hmm. There, one of the messages that we heard from Dave there. I still always follow this rule. When 3 or 4 days before a storm, they say 5 to 8 inches. It ain't going to be much in the end. So when Jane left here and she was asking if she should go to the store, my advice, and this is not Dave's advice, is you're going to be able to go at like 11 o'clock Sunday morning because this thing's not going to really happen.
I don't think so, yeah. Mark. I think this one will actually happen.
We are going to get ice.
And I have a new plan. I was going to go to the grocery store when I leave here. I think I'm going to get up early since I can, since I'm me, and if 6 o'clock is sleeping in, and go early. Huh?
Well,
what are your thoughts?
I think that's a better idea because here's one of my thoughts just from seeing some of the pictures. I think they might have to, Dave
restock.
Talked about reloading. They're going to have to reload some of those aisles.
Yeah,
you're right
about that.
Sue, I will bring you some bread if you need it.
Thank you.
And some milk as well. But hey, let's get ready for it. Now, I like snow.
I
don't like ice.
Yeah.
But if we're going to have snowstorm, let's get a few inches so the kids can go out and play. I'll play with the dogs. Love, love, love the snow. You know that school that's right
fun.
Over by where you live?
St. Stephen's.
Other side of Holly Hills. No, not St. Stephen's. Maybe the St. Stephen's. The Catholic. So there's that big parking lot there from that school. And you could probably even still do this because we put it on YouTube. My lab, Chase, who passed away like 4 years ago, but we took him over there and it was his first snow. And I think if you Google Chase's first snow, you'll see my lab running around. It probably has like 13 views
How
or something like that.
How cute is that?
Used to have so much fun. All my dogs have had fun in the snow. They love it.
That's good. Bulldogs are like, what is happening?
Well, and I can relate to that. And Sue, I've told you this. So when I lived in Milwaukee, that's when I had Newt, my bulldog. And the one winter that stands out, and I don't remember what year it was, but in the month of December, we had 53 inches of snow. The month of December.
53.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm out there with the snow thrower. I got a snow thrower, not a blower. You got to have a thrower.
Wow.
And I had to carve out swaths in the backyard and the front yard for the dogs.
Yes.
We had a Cocker Spaniel at the time, and then
they're both low
to the ground, right? So they needed some help.
Wow.
And the weird thing about that winter is, and I joked about this a couple of weeks ago, because when we got that snow 2 weeks ago, it seemed like more snow than we had the entire year last year. In that month of December with 53 inches of snow, it barely even snowed anymore the rest of the winter, but that stuff stayed there. I mean, Wisconsin, the snow stays till about July 4th.
See, that's just it. I'll take 5-8 inches of snow if it melts within 2 days.
Yeah.
And there's no ice.
Because when you see the parking lots that still have snow in May, I'd say that's a little bit of a problem, right? We don't want that. I like global warming from Missouri for sure. We used to have storms, more storms, remember?
Yeah, we did.
Back in the day, as they say. Nick Shore coming up, state senator. He was on the roundtable. Going to get caught up on the new legislative session and a whole lot more. Talk a little crime in St. Louis. That's unique. Well, Nick Shore has been nice enough. He was on the roundtable earlier. I thought we'd kind of catch up with him here in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about next week and beyond in the legislature. Senator, how are you?
Wonderful. Trying to stay here until traffic's done.
Well, that's very nice of you. And Sue will guide you home along the way here on this Friday afternoon. You know, I hadn't seen you in a long time before the roundtable earlier this afternoon, but I have to start with something very important that's near and dear to both of our hearts, and that's hunting in Howard County, Missouri. Yeah. Did you have success this year?
I didn't even get a chance to go out.
You didn't get a chance to go out?
I had family members go out. A huge deer, it was about a 14-point, right across the street from our property was taken. Amazing deer. I still have 2 freezers that are full of beef and venison and all of that. But, yeah, I didn't get a chance. I was at different conferences. Our good friend Gene Evans got me to be the only one selected from Missouri to go to a education choice conference in California. So most of hunting season I was spending getting ready for session.
That's terrible.
I know.
I hate to hear that. Well, you know, I got skunked again this year. I think it's been 4 years since I've shot a deer. Now, my daughter went out during the doe season, and she had never shot a deer. We got her ready over the summer, and she shot a button buck. She had a real nice buck that was staring at us for like 7 or 8 minutes. Couldn't shoot it because it was does only. Of course, that happens. But she reminds me weekly, Daddy, you haven't shot a deer in 4 years, and I got one this year. That's a constant reminder, but I'm glad that your freezer is full. And that was funny. We kind of recognized this about one another after we got to know each other, that we do hunt in relatively the same spot in Howard County near Fayette and Harrisburg, right?
Yeah, we've got the City Lake out there where we pass. I went to Central Methodist for 2 years because we've had a family farm out there, played football, acted out there. But I'd say the wildlife and the scenery is second to none in Missouri.
I love that part of the state. And, you know, I do feel passionately as a proponent of Missouri. And I've lived in Missouri longer than any place else. I've lived in the Chicago area. I don't like to admit that, Nick, Wisconsin. But I lived in, you know, in Boone County in Columbia for 13 years. Three of those were when I was in college. But I think our state has a lot of great parts of it. You know, you look at Augusta and the wine country here. If you go down to Table Rock and those areas, I mean, there's a lot of, and I think a lot of people around the country don't anticipate. They think of Illinois or they think of St. Louis as flat because the metro is pretty flat.
Right.
But there's so much great beauty beyond that.
Well, even, I mean, anything you want to do, whether it's music, you know, I'm a huge country music, outlaw country music guy. In the history of country music, Nashville versus Southern Missouri, and that's where the home of country music should have been in the Branson area. But we've got, you know, tons of music down there, tons of golf courses. Tiger Woods has a golf course down there.
I have yet to play that. I had an invite, you know, the year it opened, and I couldn't get down there, so it's on my bucket list.
It's beautiful.
Sure.
I mean, all of the different courses down there, Johnny Morris, Bass Pro, what he's done to our state. We're getting onto the next level, and, you know, the thing that's really lacked is leadership from the political world. And I'm really, really excited to jump into here with a governor that is prioritizing basically everything that I want to prioritize, and that's getting crime out of here, dealing with the crime in the city of St. Louis, the recidivism rates with crime in the city of St. Louis, recruitment, retention with police, education, taxes. We want to kind of look at what other states have done, like Tennessee and Florida and Texas. And it's a conservative agenda, which has attracted more businesses, more people there. And hopefully we can take it to the next level and start competing with all the states around us.
It sounds to me, you know, getting to know Governor Kehoe just a little bit here, that he's willing to go big and bold if the opportunity presents itself, right?
Yeah, and that's something that my entire time in the legislature, we really haven't had that. It's been like crickets from the governor's office. And for whatever reason, whether it was Greitens or Parson, we've really needed leadership from the top to work with the leadership in the Senate, leadership in the House. And we've seen how dysfunctional this has been with a supermajority Republican Party. And it's depressing going back home and hearing the same story from constituents, you know, especially personal property taxes or income taxes. And these are things that Governor Kehoe has seen, he's heard, and he's got solutions right now. He's been working with a lot of different groups, and it just so happens that the Freedom Caucus's priorities, which we're going to release on Monday, coincide 100% with what the governor's wanting.
Nice. Senator Nick Shore is here. Let's kind of focus in on one of those aspects, because the personal property tax issue is very easy for all of us, everyone listening, even those of you in Illinois. You don't pay personal property tax, but you have maybe higher regular property tax. But it's been something that's been so confounding to me for years. And when I lived in Wisconsin before I came back here in the mid-2000s, we didn't have to deal with that up there. And then I was reminded, and you know, the other thing that's annoying, it's not only that you got to pay for this every year, but these license offices are such a scam, right? Yeah. I mean, they're independently owned. It's that, I can't even remember the history of that when it was all put into place, but it's real frustrating. Now, what the proponents of confiscating, you know, your income from you would say is, well, you know, if you get rid of the personal property tax, we have to fill that revenue hole. So, because that's all that money, where's that money going to go or come from, right, Nick?
Well, let's look at Kansas, for example. Kansas did it the wrong way. They cut taxes and they kept spending like bandits. And what we need to do is several items. I think, you know, Governor Kehoe and the Freedom Caucus both have this mindset of, let's start looking at some of these areas where new revenue is coming in, whether it's marijuana, gambling, sports betting, you name it. There are a lot of different new areas, new arenas where revenue's coming in. Instead of using that for new stuff, let's start looking at getting rid of real estate tax, personal property tax, income tax. And there are different ways to do it. Do you increase taxes elsewhere? There have been talks with the income tax of increasing sales tax somewhere. And I think all of us are open to repealing or phasing out a lot of these taxes, personal property tax, real estate tax, income tax, capital gains tax. These are all things that add up. And ultimately, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, or if you're an older American, older Missourian, you just can't afford it.
Well, there was just a story, and I don't know how this specifically applies to our area, but I remembered this from when I was in Wisconsin. There's these big houses that are along Lake Michigan. And, you know, it was one of those situations up there where if you're on Lake Michigan, you got a big house, it's a mansion, right? And then about a block from the lake, it's a big house, but it's, you know, not as big. And then a couple of blocks away, more modest. And I bring it up because what was happening up there, and this is, I think I read this in the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal. There are now more people in this country that are paying more for their principal, or less for their principal and interest, more for their taxes in escrow than they are for their principal. And in Wisconsin, it priced a lot of people out. You had people that were in a situation where they owned their home outright, but they had to pay $20,000 a year in taxes. They're retired. They didn't have the ability to afford that. So that's something that does exist right now.
Well, even some of the small homes in my district, we've got older parts of O'Fallon, Missouri, that these people have owned their homes outright, but now they're fixed income, they're retired, and they can't afford it. So they're selling their house and trying to, you know, move in with family. Look, if this is truly the land of the free, we need to respect home ownership and start tackling these issues of taxation. That's, you know, the more free states like Arkansas, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, they're actually attracting more businesses and more people to go there. I mean,
there's opportunities.
There are
really big opportunities, and I'm glad to hear that. So let's kind of broaden it out to the rest of the session. What are your priorities? What else do you think might happen coming up here?
Well, crime through and through. That's what my undergraduate degree was in criminology, criminal justice. And we've got to do a better job of tackling the two biggest areas in St. Louis and Kansas City when it comes to crime. Well, how do we do that? Let's listen to the people on the ground. And currently, there's a massive mismanagement of the police in the city of St. Louis. There have been talks on a hybrid version of the state control, which puts it back, allowing the governor to put people on certain boards to control the police. And right now, I think that there's a very good chance we could come up with a deal within the first couple weeks, couple months of session, moving it to a citizen board control, where the people on the ground, citizens within the city of St. Louis, will be able to get on this board and represent the police and what is going to be best for them.
It's so frustrating because, you know, we talked about this on the roundtable. You had the shooting that was just a few blocks away from here at the Wheelhouse, and crickets from City Hall. I mean, Tashara acts like none of this is impacting anyone. And I see it all the time because I work right down here. And I had somebody pop off on Twitter saying, I live downtown. I've never felt unsafe. I'd love to know where that person lives. I walk all the time from here to Busch Stadium, whether it's in the day, even in the daytime.
Yeah.
I've had incidents where I don't feel safe. Certainly the path, you know, I'm basing this on where we are geographically right now, but if you go over to the other side of Tucker and where, you know, Stiefel is and Enterprise, there have been people that have been killed in that intersection. So it's infuriating. You have more and more people.
The disregard for any law down here. I mean, even at a stoplight, when I get a green light, you have to wait for a couple seconds and look both ways. And I always go back to that Drake concert that was here into last year.
Yeah, where the person was, the mother and daughter were killed.
The mother and daughter from Chicago, the tourists that were here. And you go back even before then, Janae, I forget what her name was,
Edmondson.
Who was ran over and now
lost her leg.
Yeah. So,
and her livelihood. Looking
at areas that have done it right and gotten a tackle on crime. Most notably, I was in Nashville, Tennessee. Mizzou was just there. We kicked ass in the
did you go to the bowl game?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not, but I watched the whole thing. It was phenomenal.
Fun. Yeah.
But how did they tackle crime? They saturated the streets with trained police in a community policing fashion. And that's what we got to get back to. I mean, certain cities have done it right.
Miami's even. Tim Pitch has told me how Miami has attracted a lot of officers and really done it right. So.
Yeah, I mean, when you feel safe, you're going to open your business here. You're going to spend your money here. And that's what we've really missed out on. And, if St. Louis City goes, the entire state's going to suffer.
So let me touch on a topic here that is near and dear to my heart. Actually, I hate it. It's initiative petition reform.
Yeah.
And nobody, when we say IP reform, I always think that people think it's the Internet Protocol. But that was something that was attempted.
I think
the
intellectual property.
That too, right? Yeah, exactly. So what can we explain that to the audience? And is that even an issue right now? Because we have these constitutional amendments. We had an example of this with the gaming amendment. You supported iSport. It barely passed. But some people think the threshold for passing something like that or any, you know, constitutional amendment should be higher, right?
I do think it should be higher, especially, I mean, look at Amendment 3, the pro-abortion amendment. $30+ million came in. 95% of it was out of state. $3.5 million came in from somebody that's not even in this country. So the threshold should be higher. I think if we're going to change our constitution statutorily, I personally am, you know, look, if the legislature can go back and make tweaks to it, whatever. But if you're putting it in our constitution, there should be some stronger thresholds.
I agree.
Is it going to be a big issue? Yeah, it's going to still be a big issue. However, looking at what the Republicans are going to want to address, and that's clarifying some of the issues or going back and putting something back on the ballot regarding pro-life or the abortion amendment. Do you want to do it under the current framework or do you want to make it tougher on yourselves? And that's a struggle that I think we're going to have this year, is addressing it, but maybe offsetting it for a couple of years. So we do have that opportunity to put something back on the ballot and take advantage of the loose rules that we have.
Where's your leadership in the Senate right now? What committees?
I don't know. The committees have not been doled out yet. It's going to be doled out on either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Presently, without, you know, talking about this next session, presently I'm on the vice chairman of Judiciary, Tony Lukemeyer, who was the chair. He just elevated to floor leader. So that does have an opening for one of the most powerful committees, Judiciary. And that's something that I am gunning for with my priorities lying with public safety.
Right. Absolutely. It's a good fit.
Courts.
Nick, happy new year. Thanks for coming in for the roundtable. Great to see you. And M-I-Z, how about that?
Z-O-U, baby.
Well, Nick Schroer has been nice enough. He was on the roundtable earlier. I thought we'd kind of catch up with him here in the 5 o'clock hour to talk about next week and beyond in the legislature. Senator, how are you?
Wonderful. Trying to stay here until traffic's done.
Well, that's very nice of you. And Sue will guide you home along the way here on this Friday afternoon. You know, I hadn't seen you in a long time before the roundtable earlier this afternoon, but I have to start with something very important that's near and dear to both of our hearts, and that's hunting in Howard County, Missouri. Yeah. Did you have success this year?
I didn't even get a chance to go out.
You didn't get a chance to go out?
I had family members go out. A huge deer, it was about a 14-point, right across the street from our property was taken. Amazing deer. So, you know, I still have two freezers that are full of beef and venison and all of that. But, yeah, I didn't get a chance. I was at different conferences. Our good friend Gene Evans got me to be the only one selected from Missouri to go to a education choice conference in California. So most of hunting season I was spending getting ready for session.
Terrible. That's terrible.
I know.
I hate to hear that. Well, you know, I got skunked again this year. I think it's been 4 years since I've shot a deer. Now, my daughter went out during the doe season, and she had never shot a deer. We got her ready over the summer, and she shot a button buck. She had a real nice buck that was staring at us for like 7 or 8 minutes. Couldn't shoot it because it was does only. Of course, that happens. But she reminds me weekly, Daddy, you haven't shot a deer in 4 years, and I got one this year. That's a constant reminder, but I'm glad that your freezer is full. And that was funny. We kind of recognized this about one another after we got to know each other, that we do hunt in relatively the same spot in Howard County near Fayette and Harrisburg, right?
Yeah, we've got the city lake out there where we pass. I went to Central Methodist for 2 years because we've had a family farm out there, played football, acted out there. But I'd say the wildlife and the scenery is second to none in Missouri.
I love that part of the state. And, you know, I do feel passionately as a proponent of Missouri. And I've lived in Missouri longer than any place else. I've lived in the Chicago area. I don't like to admit that, Nick, Wisconsin. But I lived in, you know, in Boone County in Columbia for 13 years. Three of those were when I was in college. But I think our state has a lot of great parts of it. You know, you look at Augusta and the wine country here. If you go down to Table Rock and those areas, I mean, there's a lot of, and I think a lot of people around the country don't anticipate. They think of Illinois or they think of St. Louis as flat because the metro is pretty flat.
Right.
But there's so much great beauty beyond that.
Well, even, I mean, anything you want to do, whether it's music, you know, I'm a huge country music, outlaw country music guy. In the history of country music, Nashville versus Southern Missouri. And that's where the home of country music should have been in the Branson area. But we've got, you know, tons of music down there, tons of golf courses. Tiger Woods has a golf course down there.
I have yet to play that. I had an invite, you know, the year it opened, and I couldn't get down there, so it's on my bucket list.
It's beautiful.
Sure.
I mean, all of the different courses down there, Johnny Morris, Bass Pro, what he's done to our state. We're getting onto the next level, and, you know, the thing that's really lacked is leadership from the political world. And I'm really, really excited to jump into here with a governor that is prioritizing basically everything that I want to prioritize, and that's getting crime out of here, dealing with the crime in the city of St. Louis, the recidivism rates with crime in the city of St. Louis, recruitment, retention with police, education, taxes. We want to kind of look at what other states have done, like Tennessee and Florida and Texas. And it's a conservative agenda, which has attracted more businesses, more people there. And hopefully we can take it to the next level and start competing with all the states around us.
It sounds to me, you know, getting to know Governor Kehoe just a little bit here, that he's willing to go big and bold if the opportunity presents itself, right?
Yeah, and that's something that my entire time in the legislature, we really haven't had that. It's been like crickets from the governor's office. And for whatever reason, whether it was Greitens or Parson, we've really needed leadership from the top to work with the leadership in the Senate, leadership in the House. And we've seen how dysfunctional this has been with a supermajority Republican Party. And it's depressing going back home and hearing the same story from constituents, you know, especially personal property taxes or income taxes. And these are things that Governor Kehoe has seen, he's heard, and he's got solutions right now. He's been working with a lot of different groups. And it just so happens that the Freedom Caucus's priorities, which we're going to release on Monday, coincide 100% with what the governor's
doing. Nice. Senator Nick Shore is here. Let's kind of focus in on one of those aspects, because the personal property tax issue is very easy for all of us, everyone listening, even those of you in Illinois. You don't pay personal property tax, but you have maybe higher regular property tax. But it's been something that's been so confounding to me for years. And when I lived in Wisconsin before I came back here in the mid-2000s, we didn't have to deal with that up there. And then I was reminded, and you know, the other thing that's annoying, it's not only that you got to pay for this every year, but these license offices are such a scam, right? Yeah. I mean, they're independently owned. It's that, well, I can't even remember the history of that when it was all put into place, but it's real frustrating. Now, what the proponents of confiscating, you know, your income from you would say is, well, you know, if you get rid of the personal property tax, we have to fill that revenue hole. So, because that's all that money. Where's that money going to go or come from, right, Nick?
Well, let's look at Kansas, for example. Kansas did it the wrong way. They cut taxes and they kept spending like bandits. And what we need to do is several items. I think, you know, Governor Kehoe and the Freedom Caucus both have this mindset of, let's start looking at some of these areas where new revenue is coming in, whether it's marijuana, gambling, sports betting, you name it. There are a lot of different new areas, new arenas where revenue's coming in. Instead of using that for new stuff, let's start looking at getting rid of real estate tax, personal property tax, income tax. And there are different ways to do it. Do you increase taxes elsewhere? There have been talks with the income tax of increasing sales tax somewhere. And I think all of us are open to repealing or phasing out a lot of these taxes, personal property tax, real estate tax, income tax, capital gains tax. These are all things that add up. And ultimately, if you're living paycheck to paycheck, or if you're an older American, older Missourian, you just can't afford it.
Well, there was just a story, and I don't know how this specifically applies to our area, but I remembered this from when I was in Wisconsin. There's these big houses that are along Lake Michigan. And, you know, it was one of those situations up there where if you're on Lake Michigan, you got a big house, it's a mansion, right? And then about a block from the lake, it's a big house, but it's, you know, not as big. And then a couple of blocks away, more modest. And I bring it up because what was happening up there, and this is, I think I read this in the Washington Post, the Wall Street Journal, there are now more people in this country that are paying more for their principal, or less for their principal and interest, more for their taxes in escrow than they are for their principal. And in Wisconsin, it priced a lot of people out. You had people that were in a situation where they owned their home outright, but they had to pay $20,000 a year in taxes. They're retired. They didn't have the ability to afford that. So that's something that does exist right now.
Well, even some of the small homes in my district, we've got older parts of O'Fallon, Missouri, that these people have owned their homes outright, but now they're fixed income, they're retired, and they can't afford it. So they're selling their house and trying to, you know, move in with family. Look, if this is truly the land of the free, we need to respect, you know, home ownership and start tackling these issues of taxation. That's, you know, the more free states like Arkansas, Tennessee, Texas, Florida, they're actually attracting more businesses and more people to go there. I mean, Yeah,
there's opportunities.
There are opportunities.
There are really big opportunities, and I'm glad to hear that. So let's kind of broaden it out to the rest of the session. What are your priorities? What else do you think might happen coming up here?
Well, crime through and through. You know, that's what my undergraduate degree was in criminology, criminal justice. And we've got to do a better job of tackling the two biggest areas in St. Louis and Kansas City when it comes to crime. Well, how do we do that? Let's listen to the people on the ground. And currently, there's a massive mismanagement of the police in the city of St. Louis. There have been talks on a hybrid version of the state control, which puts it back, allowing the governor to put people on certain boards to control the police. And right now, I think that there's a very good chance we could come up with a deal within the first couple weeks, couple months of session, moving it to a citizen board control where the people on the ground, citizens within the city of St. Louis, will be able to get on this board and represent the police and what is going to be best for them.
It's so frustrating because, you know, and we talked about this on the roundtable. You had the shooting that was just a few blocks away from here at the Wheelhouse and crickets from City Hall. I mean, Tashara acts like none of this is impacting anyone. And I see it all the time because I work right down here. And I had somebody pop off on Twitter saying, I live downtown. I've never felt unsafe. I'd love to know where that person lives. I walk all the time from here to Busch Stadium, whether it's in the day, even in the daytime.
Yeah.
I've had incidents where I don't feel safe. Certainly the path, you know, I'm basing this on where we are geographically right now, but if you go over to the other side of Tucker and where, you know, Stiefel is and Enterprise, there have been people that have been killed in that intersection. So it's infuriating. You have more and more people.
The disregard for any law down here. I mean, even at a stoplight, when I get a green light, you have to wait for a couple seconds and look both ways. And I always go back to that Drake concert that was here end of last year.
Yeah,
where
the person was the mother and daughter.
The mother and daughter from Chicago. The tourists that were here. And you go back even before then, Janae, I forget what her name was,
Edmondson,
who was ran over and now
lost her leg.
Yeah. So,
and her livelihood. Looking
at areas that have done it right and gotten a tackle on crime. Most notably, I was in Nashville, Tennessee. Mizzou was just there. We kicked ass in the
Did you go to
the
bowl game?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not, but I watched the whole thing. It was phenomenal.
Fun. Yeah.
But how did they tackle crime? They saturated the streets with trained police in a community policing fashion. And that's what we got to get back to. I mean, certain cities have done it right.
Miami's even. Tim Pitch has told me how Miami has attracted a lot of officers and really done it right. So,
yeah, I mean, when you feel safe, you're going to open your business here. You're going to spend your money here. And that's what we've really missed out on. And, you know, if St. Louis City goes, the entire state's going to suffer.
So let me touch on a topic here that is near and dear to my heart. Actually, I hate it. It's initiative petition reform.
Oh, yeah.
And nobody, when we say IP reform, I always think that people think it's the Internet Protocol. But that was something that was attempted.
I think
the
intellectual
last,
property.
That too, right?
Yeah,
exactly. So what can we explain that to the audience? And is that even an issue right now? Because we have these constitutional amendments. We had an example of this with the gaming amendment. You supported, I supported, it barely passed. But some people think the threshold for passing something like that or any, you know, constitutional amendment should be higher, right?
I do think it should be higher, especially, I mean, look at Amendment 3, the pro-abortion amendment. $30+ million came in. 95% of it was out of state. $3.5 million came in from somebody that's not even in this country. So the threshold should be higher. I think if you're going to change our constitution statutorily, I personally am, you know, look, if the legislature can go back and make tweaks to it, whatever. But if you're putting it in our constitution, there should be some stronger thresholds.
I agree.
Is it going to be a big issue? Yeah, it's going to still be a big issue. However, looking at what the Republicans are going to want to address, and that's clarifying some of the issues or going back and putting something back on the ballot regarding pro-life or the abortion amendment. Do you want to do it under the current framework or do you want to make it tougher on yourselves? And that's a struggle that I think we're going to have this year, is addressing it, but maybe offsetting it for a couple of years. So we do have that opportunity to put something back on the ballot and take advantage of the loose rules that we have.
Where's your leadership in the Senate right now? What committees?
I don't know. The committees have not been doled out yet.
Oh,
I think
okay.
It's going to be doled out on either Tuesday or Wednesday of next week. Presently, without, you know, talking about this next session, presently I'm on the vice chairman of judiciary, Tony Lutkemeyer, who was the chair. He just elevated to floor leader. So that does have an opening for one of the most powerful committees, judiciary. And that's something that I am gunning for with my priorities lying with public safety.
Right. Absolutely. It's a good
fit.
Nick, happy new year. Thanks for coming in for the roundtable. Great to see you. And MIZ, how about that?
ZOU, baby. And I surrender. And I surrender. I'm on the last train running. I'm on the last train running. And I surrender.
dependable traffic on 97.1 FM Talk.
Well, we still have a jam up north. If you are traveling on 270 eastbound into Illinois, it's a jam that goes back through 367 from about the chain of Roxbridge. They're doing some road work and switching some lanes, and we've got a jam in both directions. So westbound 270 is lined up back to 203, down to one lane there in both directions. Now, westbound 70, a little bit slow at 141, a report of an incident there. Eastbound 70, slowing as you approach Jennings Station Road. Downtown, some volume on the Poplar Street Bridge eastbound. That's all due to road work. And eastbound is also a little slow at Big Bend, but westbound looks fine. And that's from downtown all the way out past Lake St. Louis Boulevard. Now, there was an earlier incident, and this was on southbound 270, south of 21, but it was an accident, and they moved it off to the shoulder, and it's really not causing a delay anymore. This report is brought to you by Lakeside Renovation and Design. For over 25 years, Lakeside Renovation and Design has been St. Louis's trusted choice for transforming homes inside and out. From windows and siding to kitchens, bathrooms, outdoor spaces, they deliver quality craftsmanship backed by lifetime warranties. Visit lakesiderd.com to start your dream project today. I'm Sue Thomas. That's traffic on 97.1 FM Talk.
If you're trying to sell a home, there's only one agent in town that I trust, Mark and Neil Gelman of eXp Realty. My friends Mark and Neil have the best system to connect you to the best qualified buyers, getting your home sold fast and for top dollar. 314-336-1991. Go to thegelmanteam.com.
Sue, what's the deal with brick houses in St. Louis? Like, we really have a lot more brick houses than other areas, don't we?
Yes. History of the Lou has taught me
this. There we go.
We made our own brick with our clay. Back when St. Louis was first founded into the 1800s, we had brick manufacturers and clay manufacturers. We took our own clay, made it into brick, and that's why we have all these brick homes.
So that's great news. The bad news is sometimes those bricks don't last for like 100 years or 150 years, so you have to have them repaired. This is why I brought it up. Morelli Tuck Pointing is where you should turn for your repairs. Maybe it's just a brick chimney that needs work or a brick mailbox. If you go to MorelliTuckPointing.com, click on the gallery. You'll see pictures. I like to call it the little swipey thing. They had a great function up there where you can see what the brickwork looked like when it was falling apart before John and Cindy and the team at Morelli Tuck Pointing went to work, and then the after, where it looks absolutely perfect. So if you have an entire wall that's falling apart, you have a chimney that needs repair, whatever the project is, the masonry experts here in St. Louis, Morelli Tuck Pointing, 314-645-1387, online, MorelliTuckPointing.com.
The election is finally over. Now you can get the cash you need. This is James Hawkins, president of Golden Oak Lending. Did you know that today the average homeowner has over $200,000 in equity? Imagine what you could do with just $50,000 of that equity. Pay off your credit cards, do home improvements, or even pay off your auto loan. Golden Oak's mortgage rate is 5.25%. We have no fee to apply and no out-of-pocket costs. If you call today, you can get your cash in as little as 14 days and make no payments until next year. Don't forget our appraisal guarantee. If for any reason your loan doesn't close, we will pay for your appraisal. Call today and take advantage of our 5.25 fixed rate. But don't wait, this rate won't last forever. Call 314-567-GOLD. That's 314-567-GOLD.
Golden Oak Lending, cured my blues.
6.19 APR, FHA, 15-year, 20% equity qualified credit. Additional terms apply. NMLS 114937.
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
Monday, they're promising Snowmageddon, but we'll be here live along with Sue Thomas to get you to work starting at 5 a.m.
The Mark Cox Morning Show, weekdays from 5 to 9, right here on 97.1 FM Talk.
Yeah, that's one of those days where Sue will start traffic in the morning, and the same traffic report will be on by the time my show takes the air,
yeah,
right? It's
going to
be a busy morning. The only good thing is I think a lot of people are just going to stay home. Because we've had so much advance warning, and let's face it, the schools are likely to be off unless this thing takes a complete and total, you know what. But yeah. Dave Murray is saying 5 inches. We've heard, you know, estimates up to 10 inches. I think he's keeping it kind of conservative right now. But the real story is the ice, and the ice could be significant. So stay tuned to Dave's forecast all weekend long on 97.1 FM Talk. I got a couple of audio cuts that I haven't gotten to, so let's wind it all in here.
Stand by. Playback ready. Initiating sequence.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
All right, I didn't really get this one, and there's a lot of attention being given to the guy who runs Allstate, Tom Wilson. He's the CEO of Allstate Insurance, and they had the Sugar Bowl yesterday. And the Allstate folks are the official corporate sponsor of the game, which was at the Caesars Superdome in New Orleans. And, of course, it got canceled because of what happened on the French Quarter with the terrorist attack.
Right.
So before the game, now again, I'm not sure what this was all about, but Tom Wilson goes on, and this message is delivered on national television and on social media.
Welcome to the Allstate Sugar Bowl. Wednesday, tragedy struck the New Orleans community. Our prayers are with the victims and their families. We also need to be stronger together by overcoming an addiction to divisiveness and negativity. Join Allstate working in local communities all across America to amplify the positive, increase trust, and accept people's imperfections and differences. Together, we win.
So the part that's getting attention is we need to overcome an addiction to divisiveness and negativity and accept people's imperfections and differences. How does that match up with a terrorist attack? Now, I'm thinking, kind of think through this here. Was this something that they wrote? They wanted to deliver a message, you know, apparently a DEI message, the message that failed during the election. And we had to fine tune it because of the terrorist attack, because I don't think it really went well together. So that's drawing a lot of attention on social media just because it seemingly was awkward. All right, then we'll move to this afternoon. This really, I want this to be my audio cut of the day from Hakeem Jeffries. I mean, come on.
We will fight hard for the freedom to vote.
Yeah, he said fart hard. But Mike Johnson was elected as speaker today.
The path of prosperity has long been paved with policies that put America and Americans first. And that is what we will champion in the 119th Congress. We have a mandate, and that was shown in the election cycle. The people want an America first agenda. They do. But in recent months, we've witnessed something happening, something that's really remarkable, a political moment in our modern history. A groundswell of Americans from every state, race, and religion who now demand that we put the interest of Americans first again, and we will.
So for people who missed it earlier, we covered this extensively during the Reardon Roundtable. You can always use the Odyssey Rewind action and go back and listen to the 3 o'clock hour. Jane was on the panel, former Senator Jeff Smith and current State Senator Nick Schroer, who was just visiting with us. But Mike Johnson was reelected as House Speaker. It didn't look like it was going to happen on the first vote. The votes were cast. He did not have it. I don't know what was cut. There might have been some deal making, but a couple of members came back in and they changed their vote, and he wins the speaker's race. So now you move forward. You have the agenda set. Trump was certainly supportive of Mike Johnson. He gave the speech today in the chamber.
We're also witnesses to the providence that spared our incoming president, President Trump, from the assassin's bullet. Remarkable as that was. And to the new coalition of Americans that has risen from every creed, color, and cul-de-sac who want us to put America first. It is time now to reinstate fear in our enemies, refocus our mission on lethality, and realign our commitment to peace through strength right now.
I still don't know a lot about Mike Johnson. You know, he's been there a year. Nobody really knew him before he sort of was the de facto speaker in the aftermath of what happened with Kevin McCarthy. One of the concerns that I had heading into the election cycle about Speaker Johnson was he didn't know how to fundraise. So, you know, this is one of the roles that a Speaker of the House has, going around to other congressional districts to raise money so members can be elected. I'm told he did a pretty good job with that, and I think there's been a learning curve. What I do know is that this would not be a good way to start this administration with a different speaker and more chaos.
Right.
So I'm excited that they got that done, because I think they needed to. And I think what Bob Onder told me yesterday really sums up a lot. He goes, look, I wasn't crazy about what happened with the CR, but we need to work on this agenda. And the American people want us to get to work, and that's what they're going to do. So we have that behind us. That's a good thing. Have a great weekend. Corey DeAngelis, Monday, 3:25. We'll talk about the kooky new hire for the Webster Grove School District Superintendent. That's a doozy. Wait till you hear all that. That's coming up on Monday. Sue, have a great weekend.
You too.
Get more at 971talk.com.